Grace and peace. Welcome to Zion in Power, your weekly wellspring where tradition meets truth and the word comes alive in our walk. This is not just Sunday service. It's a spiritual call-up from the dusty roads of Genesis to the living streets of our communities today. We're digging deep wells, drinking from ancient streams, and remembering that our faith did not start yesterday. Here at Empowerment Temple, we believe the same God who split the sea is still parting ways for us. Whether you're tuned in from a kitchen table, a quiet corner, or somewhere in the struggle, this moment is for you. So take a breath, open your heart, grab your scriptures, and let's step into this word together. The Zion Signal call to the faithful wherever they are scattered. And I know we have a lot going on today between Friends and Family Day at League Temple. We got the Highland Games that the missus is in.
Amen. And
I encourage everyone, if you have a portion that you're eager to read, be ready to go. And we're gonna start off with our order of worship to let all things be done decently and in order. Amen. And as we know, I always like to lean on Dr. Black. You care to open us up in prayer before we get too far along?
Glad to. The word said, this is the day that the Lord has made. We are going to rejoice and be glad in it. Dear Heavenly Father, first of all, we want to thank you for this day. Heavenly Father, you woke us up this morning and started us on our way. And Heavenly Father, we are grateful. Heavenly Father, we have now set aside this time, this moment, Lord, be with you and to worship and fellowship with the saints, Lord, but also to hear a powerful word. We can also get a chance to share our needs, Lord, request prayer. And Lord, we are just so grateful for that this morning, Lord. And Lord, as we go into this service, Lord, we want you to touch every heart that is on the Zoom, Lord. Lord, we want you to be with those who wanted to be with us but couldn't be, Lord. And Lord, we just want you just to say that we are thankful, Lord, for all that you have done. We ask you now for all these blessings on this day in your name. Let us all say amen, amen, amen.
Amen, amen. All right, as we go into our service here, our psalm of the day is coming from Psalms 139, verses 7 through 10. All right.
Okay, Psalms 139, verse 7 through 10. I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. If I go up to heaven, you are there. If I go down to the grave, you are there. If I ride the wings of the morning, if I dwell by the farthest oceans, even there your hand will guide me and your strength will support me.
I love that. I can never escape from your spirit.
Yeah.
I can never get away from your presence. So our scripture reading, our Old Testament reading, and it's the gateway, if you would, of our lesson plan, our primary study today is coming from Genesis chapter 28, verses 10 through 15. Do we have someone who's eager to read about Jacob's dream at Bethuel?
Okay.
Yes.
And Jacob went out from the Beersheba and went toward Haran, and he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took up the stones of the place and put them for his pillows and laid stones in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to the heavens, and he held the angel of God as ending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord, the God of Abraham, thy father, and God of Jacob, the land whereon thou liest. And to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. How far to go, Brother David?
All the way to 15.
Okay. And they and thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south, and in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into the land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. Amen.
Amen. Yeah, that must be the King James Version, yeah?
It is. It is.
Oh, yeah. I love having King James Day when you have words like behold, yes. You know? I love using that around the office and just say, behold, someone is at the... Oh, thank you.
I was on a trip one time and I was in seminary. We got an assignment to read the scripture, but I didn't have a Bible with me. So this was the only one I was able to find in the airport. And I treasure it dearly because
that's awesome. Bible.
And so I get to use it every once in a while.
Amen. Thank you so much. So we have our New Testament reading. We're going to connect this today, of course, and it's going to go from 1 John chapter 2, 20 through 25. Do we have someone that's eager to read for us our New Testament reading?
I can read, but my voice is kind of shaky this morning.
Well, we hear you loud and clear.
Amen.
Okay. Anointed by the Holy One. For you are not like that. For the Holy One has given you his Spirit, and all of you know the truth. So I am writing to you not because you don't know the truth, but because you know the difference between truth and lies. And who is a liar? Anyone who says that Jesus is not the Christ. Anyone who denies the Father and the Son is an antichrist. Anyone who denies the Son doesn't have the Father either. But anyone who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. So you must remain faithful to what you have been taught from the beginning. If you do, you will remain in fellowship with the Son and with the Father. And in the fellowship, we enjoy the eternal life he promised us. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And in this fellowship, we enjoy the eternal life he promised us. And there's some interesting things in this text here. Some people say this is the oven scriptures, right? But it's really just the truth on it. If you don't believe in the Christ, well, then you're antichrist, right? Sometimes Hollywood can make things up to be a lot worse than what they are, but it's sometimes we have to look at that on what is true and what is lies. Great scriptures from our regular reading. Before we dive into the scripture text, we have the Apostles' Creed. We have someone here that is bold enough to say, spiritually, if you would, what we believe. There be none. Allow me to go on. I believe in God the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From hence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Church Universal, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sin, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen.
So allow us now as we go into the text today, our lesson. The stone that waited. There was no sanctuary, only open air, no choir. Only dreams, no preacher, only angels stepping between here and holy. The pillow was hard, the night unfamiliar, but God came anyway. Not to a king, but to a fugitive. Not in Jerusalem, but in the wilderness. He did not climb the ladder. He laid beneath it, and heaven opened above. The earth that had once felt so far. Let us pray, Father God, soften our hearts and open our mind as we dive into your word, that we might learn a new thing today as we journey into your text. In your name I pray, amen.
Amen.
So the stone that waited, Jacob's dream at Bethuel. Allow me to read the full text today. Meanwhile, Jacob left Beersheba and traveled towards Haran. At sundown, he arrived at a good place to set up camp and stopped there for the night. Jacob found a stone to rest his head against and lay down to sleep. As he slept, he dreamed of a stairway that reached from the earth up to heaven. And he saw the angels of God going up and down the stairway. At the top of the stairway stood the Lord. And he said, I am the Lord, the God of your grandfather, Abraham, and the God of your father, Isaac. The ground you are laying on belongs to you, and I am giving it to you and your descendants. Your descendants will be as numerous as the dust of the earth. They will spread out in all directions, to the west, to the east, to the north, and to the south. And all the families of the earth will be blessed through you and your descendants. What's more, I am with you, and I will protect you wherever you go. One day I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have finished giving you everything I have promised. Then Jacob awoke from this sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I wasn't even aware of it. But he was also afraid and said, what an awesome place this is. It is none other than the house of God, the very gateway to heaven. The next morning, Jacob got up early. He took the stone he had rested on his head against and set it upright as a memorial pillar. He then poured olive oil over it. He named that place Bethuel, which means house of God, although it was previously called Luz. Then Jacob made this vow. If God will indeed be with me and protect me on this journey, and if he will provide me with food and clothing, and if I return safely to my father's home, then the Lord will certainly be my God. And this memorial pillar I have set up will become a place of worship in God, and I will present to God a tenth of everything he gives me. So there's a lot here to dive in. When we look at it, first I want to break down a little bit the chiastic structure. You know, those of y'all that's been with me for a while, you know, this is a little bit important. We kind of see how to highlight it when we look at the text within its own language. And the structure insight is, you know, Jacob travels and rest is the section A. And then on the bottom of that, now that's verse 10 to 11, and verses 20 and 22, Jacob makes a vow and moves forward. Those are the two parallels. And then the B section would be Jacob's dreams of divine connection. And then also you find where Jacob consecrates the pillar. So verses 12 and 15 correlate with 18 and 19. And right in the middle, Jacob responds with awe. And so if we were looking at this in the Easternism, by the text of the highlight, these little quotation marks is in the center of the text. Surely the Lord is in this place, and I wasn't even aware of it. But he was also afraid and said, what an awesome place this is, none other than the house of God, the very gateway to heaven. And so what does this all mean? Why is this important? Well, we have some things we can connect to last week's reading. We find where Jacob makes this interesting covenant. And those who want to participate, I'm going to ask a question here soon. In verse 20, he says he's making a vow. Now remember, Isaac made a vow. And so this is a really cool thing. But there's a lot of ifs. If God will indeed be with me and protect me on this journey, and if he will provide me with food and clothing, and if I return safely to my father's home, then the Lord will certainly be my God. So my first question to the group is, what kind of covenant is this? Does the covenant have any less value because of these ifs, or do they have more value? Like, what kind of covenant is this?
Well, it seems to me he was trying to cover all his bases just in case. So it's like, if this happens or if that happens, then this is what I will do. And if, you know, if this goes this way, then this is what I'll do. But it seems to me that he was trying to cover all his bases so that he didn't miss out on his blessing that he, as he thought he might. So that's why he did so many different conditions and made it, and it made it dependent on this, that, or the other, instead of just coming out and saying, I pledge this to you. And in all circumstances, he put in all of the different parts where he thought it could go one way or the other so that he wouldn't miss his blessing.
Mm. I like that. So it's almost like he's starting a negotiation with God. Right? He's like,
yeah.
He's like, yeah.
Negotiation.
All right. He's like, okay, God, if you protect me, all right, I need some food and clothes and I need to return. I need to do what you said I was going to have. You said if I come back, I'd have all this. So if all these things happen, and the reason why I wanted to bring that up is that sometimes when we tell God, if sometimes we, it can be seen as though we're questioning God, when really Jacob was making it plain on what he needs from the Lord. We should be ever so bold to be able to address the Almighty. When he gives us promises, that is the time to say, Lord, okay, you want to give me this? Well, this is some of the things I think I need, right? But if you notice, everything that he says, if, are things that God kind of already said he'd do. And so again, we should be bold to tell the Almighty what our needs are. But he came to this already at a place of not shrewdness, as we would know, but out of fear and awe and amazement. And we ask for different things when we're afraid. But in that main section there, that he realized that that the Lord was in that place, and he realized that he wasn't even aware of it. He was humbled, and he was full of awe. And he said, well, this is none other than the house of God, the very gateway to heaven. And Jacob, I mean, we do know he can be shrewd, but I don't think this was the Yitzhakara. I don't think this was an evil inclination when he said these ifs. I think this was a prophetic prayer and blessing that he said, because he also puts at the end there, and this morning he says, I will present God a tenth. He says, if you do these things, Lord, I'm going to give you more. I'm going to give you a gift. And I think that's one of the beauties of this, is this gift that he promises. Now, Jacob's statement, when he says, surely the Lord is in this place, is a core revelation. God doesn't wait for cathedrals. He descends on deserts, stones, and fugitives, right? We saw this. We can see this in the King David story. We can see this with the tabernacle story. God didn't wait for Solomon to build the full fancy temple before he descended upon the people. His presence was always there. And here, we don't have a tent. We don't have incense. We're in the desert. You know, all we have for a pillow is a rock. And there God can meet us. So when we also look at this rock, there's many miracles we find that God gives from the rock. And there is a connection to this within our weekly reading, is like water from the rock in Numbers. Sacred often emerges from unexpected sources. And I think those of us that have been involved in ministry for a while have seen this, where we have these sacred connections, these sacred moments from the most unexpected places. And I think it kind of goes back to, I remember Pastor Meadows once did a sermon on the art of noticing, we can have all these sacred connections. Imagine if Jacob, what, you know, didn't recognize. I mean, he saw you. He admitted he wasn't even aware of it, but he did finally notice. And so I think that's one of the first key themes, if we would, is as we go throughout our lives and our day, let us try to engage in the art of noticing. Let us recognize those sacred connection. Let's try not to be so busy that we just take these blessed gateways and just pass them like we missed our turn. Right. The ladder of transition, the sulam. Sulam is the Hebrew word for ladder. Sulam. It's not a bridge to escape. And Jacob was running from his problems, but it's a channel of encounter. There's many thoughts on what the angels ascending and descending mean. Angels ascending and descending symbolize divine interaction. It's not just a top down, but it's this reciprocal movement. We find this ascension and descension from the very beginning in the creation of man. We see their expulsion from the Garden of Eden itself is this great descension, but that descension allowed the light to be given to the world, even in the midst of what we say is a curse. We find it again when the week before we talked about Noah and he found himself resting in the top of the mountain, and then they have this descension. We find it again with the Akedah, the binding of Isaac, when they climbed the mountain. So you find in every story, almost every single story we read in the Bible, you find this ascension and descension. And sometimes it's more ways than others. But it's this reciprocal motion. Sometimes we want to say, okay, I stay down here. I pray to God. God send it down and I keep moving along my way. But really, there's this reciprocal movement where we have to climb our mountains and then we go through our valleys. And as we go through that process, there's this reciprocal movement of life and he meets us. There's a path that he enjoins us. There also is an Eastern echo in this, and the path is not linear, but circular. There's a little hint to that. But naming matters. When we go to Jacob, he transforms a nameless place, even though it was once called Luz. And the monument there, is a promise there. So this place is Luz. It's kind of like there's an old yeshiva joke about, you know, you go from being a loser to a better, right? But he names this place Betuel. He puts the name of God on it. And I think that's something that's ever so beautiful. That when we find our sacred connections and God bless us, let us put the name of the Lord on that. Give God the glory. Like essentially that's what he did. He says, I am going to give God the glory. I'm going to put a monument to give God the glory. And if God does everything he says, when I come back, I'm going to give God more glory. Like that's ultimate summary. But the insights here is naming creates a vessel to hold the experience, right? We don't merely observe it, but we need to declare what is holy. When God blesses us, when we see these divine connections in our life, and it can be something as when a bird flies by our window, it could be something as when you got a promotion to the job you never thought you may get, and God's fingerprints are all over it. Declare it, name it, share it, and give God the glory in the process of that. The vow of response, Jacob's vow is not a bargain, even though it looks like it, right? It almost looks like he's bartering with God. But it's a process of anchoring. And those who are negotiators will know, wait a minute, anchoring is something that you do at bargaining. But this is what he was doing within his life. He wasn't bartering with God, but he was anchoring. God's promises and his presence, Jacob promises worship. So he says, God, you promised me this. I'm not okay just taking a promise. I got to promise something. I got to give something back. I have to bring something to the table. He was in awe. So we can look at this and go, ooh, man, Jacob is just over here saying all these ifs, but really he was anchoring and saying, God, if you do what you said you do, then I promise I'm going to bless you. And so the application or the question would be when we read this text, when we go throughout our weekly readings this week, is to ponder to ourselves, what altars have we built from the stones of our uncertainty? Where do we pour? the oil, right? When we're going along this walk and we find these moments of sacred connection, we have to be mindful to build altars. And I love how we were talking yesterday in the church meeting. I remember the bishop gave the sermon about pushing the rock. And here we have, you know, he was pushing the rock in his Z's, right? But he was, you know, but we have to, from the hard points in our life, these hard stones, these limited forms of comfort, we can find ways to build altars to the Almighty so that we can remember, so that others can remember as an invitation for others. So it's a beautiful, beautiful lesson, if you would, in regards to the dream of Joseph and promises. And I also, real quick, I wanted to just look at where he was traveling. There's a little hidden little thing in here. So he left Beersheba, and we talked about what Beersheba meant, right? And there's a covenant. And so in the end, he makes a covenant. And that almost even doubles down on the chiastic nature. But this builds off of that Jacob leaves one covenant and he finds himself making another. And the underlying tone here is that if us believers, we should not be afraid to make covenants and to live up to them. Right. And in the midst of this, Jacob was in some sort of way. And God met him at his resting place that wasn't quite restful. God gave him rest. But before we get too far along, let us pray real quick. Father God, we thank you for your lesson. We thank you for your day. We thank you for blessing us with the reminder to be aware and to be mindful and to be looking for those sacred connections, Lord. Father, even if we're at war with our brother and have lost all peace with the people around us, we know that in the middle of the desert of our desolation, when all we may have is a stone to lay our head on, that place may be a sacred place with you, and you'll meet us there. And give us promise, give us hope, give us purpose. We thank you for that, O Lord. Well, I know it's a shorter day. We do have our benediction here. May the place you lay your head become a place God speaks your name. May your hardest stones become holy markers. And may the ladder between heaven and earth always descend where you are. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Thank you all for coming out.
Amen.
And blessed week, y'all.
As we draw this episode to a close, I want to thank you for walking with us step by step through these stories, scriptures, and reflections. If today's message stirred something in you, if it reminded you of the deeper wells we still have to dig or bridges still to build, then I invite you to become a part of what's next. Zion Empowered isn't just a podcast. It's a movement, a mission, a ministry. And like any sacred journey, it moves forward on faith and the faithful. If this work blesses you, teaches you, or helps you feel seen, consider sowing a seed. Your giving helps us reach farther, go deeper, and keep lifting up voices that need to be heard. You can support us by visiting zionempowered.com or by clicking on the link in the show notes. No amount is too small, because even a mustard seed moves mountains. Until next time, may your path be clear, your purpose unshaken, and your spirit in power, grace, and peace from Zion.